Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter and PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, and also host of this, the PW Torch Livecast, which you can find on demand or stream it live at PWTorchLivecast.com. It is Tuesday, March 21st, 2017, and we are live right now. After WWE SmackDown Live concluded on USA Network, live from the Mohegan Sun Casino. And we want to know what you think of tonight's program. I'm hosting solo today. Yesterday, Pat McNeil joined me, longtime Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, and we discussed Monday Night Raw for an hour and a half. So if you missed that show, be sure to check that out. Tonight, we'll talk virtually exclusively about SmackDown. Tomorrow at 1 Eastern, it's the midweek flagship edition of the PW Torch Livecast. Travis Bryant, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, host of the long-running PW Torch East Coast cast, joins me for the midweek flagship at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific time. So if you're not able to join us live in the evenings after Raw and SmackDown, your chance to join us in the late morning or early afternoon, depending on your time zone, or some other time, depending on where you are in the world, is 1 Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday. And Kevin Eck, a frequent guest on the PW Torch Livecast, joins me for Interview Thursday at 1 Eastern. He is a former WWE creative team member, now an indie manager, and a longtime wrestling columnist. He will join me. He is always one of our favorite guests on the Livecast. Always have really, really good discussions with him. Good chemistry between Kevin and me, just talking about the booking approach of WWE, and he's always got some insights to share from his time working in the trenches with Vince McMahon and the whole WWE creative team. So be sure to join us for that. On today's show, though, SmackDown Talk, our phone number, 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. Tonight, I enjoyed the hell out of The Miz and Maryse spoof of John Cena and Nikki Bella. I mean, I thought it was great. I laughed out loud at the first moment Miz walked out dressed like John Cena, walking like John Cena, imitating John Cena. It was funny. If you haven't seen Total Bellas, and I mean, probably most of you haven't listening to this. If you watch SmackDown, I don't know what the correlation is, especially if you listen to this show, of taking time out to watch Total Bellas. I did. And just based on the spoof, you have to go watch Total Bellas now and tell me which is a spoof and which was reality. Sarah Kay did reviews for Total Bellas for PWTorch.com and just made fun of the show. I mean, it is fodder for being made fun of, especially John Cena and all his just over-the-top house rules, how stiff he is, how unnatural he seems romantically with Nikki. All of those things were lampooned in the two skits that they showed between Miz and Nikki Bella. So if you missed with Miz and Maryse imitating John Cena and Nikki Bella, if you missed, I mean, some of it was kind of, you know, stuff that I did with my buddies in, you know, third grade when we were doing whole movies trying to be funny. But some of it was actually, and even that was fine because Miz and Maryse were all in and in game for it. But the stuff was spot on. The John Cena, or, you know, when I say Cena, Miz imitating Cena saying, "This is our TV bedroom. Of course, we do not sleep together. We have separate bedrooms on separate floors, but to make our relationship feel more authentic, we have this room that looks like it is where all the magic happens." And I think the best line was when Miz imitating Cena said, "This is our kitchen where we have servants cook our meals, but we do not say that on television because that would not be relatable." I mean, it just spoofs the notion that everything about John Cena is calculated and manipulated and staged to be relatable and to be marketed. And now I will say this. I don't think that having a sense of humor about it and allowing it to be spoofed makes everything or some of what they did untrue. It's still a pick and choose what you want as far as that goes. I don't think that making fun of how unnatural John and Nikki seem together romantically takes it undoes the fact that it seems totally staged and unrelatable and awkward whenever they, you know, like John Cena even today in real life on SmackDown, patted her on the head like a dog. Oh, wait, no, that was Miz doing it to Maryse. Well, nevertheless, it's hard to tell the difference between them. The spoof is so like real life. So that actually was a blast. I thought that was reason enough to watch SmackDown replay on Hulu or catch a DVR replay if you or a play it back on your DVR if you saw it or search it out online. I thought those were fun. The big angle at the end was Shane McMahon diving off the top rope, dropping an elbow and his body over Styles on the announce table after jumping him for a little summit meeting they had in the ring. You can read full details on PWTorch.com. I covered the show live throughout. It's airing live on PWTorch.com. I do that every Monday night for Raw, every Tuesday night for SmackDown. And so you can catch up on all my thoughts and the details on everything that happened while listening to the show, or pause it and read it or whatever. It's up to you. It's a free country. And the hype for Styles Shane, I don't think it was overdone on the show. I mean, they opened with it, they closed with it. Styles was showing like 17 times waiting for Shane in the parking garage. He doesn't even have a cell phone to occupy himself. Who waits around these days and isn't staring at a 4.2-inch screen or 5.1-inch screen occupying themselves? But Styles just paced back and forth impatiently for the better part of 2 hours. Shane came in a back door, or a front door, probably, because Styles was waiting by the back door, and tricked Styles and was waiting in the ring for him, so he called him to the ring. So Shane did a big elbow drop, and the big point they wanted to make was made by JBL, even Dave Otunga a little bit, which is, if Shane is willing to put his body on the line like opponent, and JBL said, who else would do this? Nobody else does this, except for tons of other people who leap off top ropes and dive through ropes and do crazy things. But it's a McMahon and you got to, overstate things to get him over. The idea is if Shane is willing to do this, maybe he can take on AJ Styles. My issue with this, as I wrote about on my report on PWTorch.com, is I don't think it helps the credibility of everybody when they act like Shane McMahon, a guy in his late 40s, doesn't have a professional sports background or a legit fighting amateur background or anything to justify why, as the son of the promoter in his late 40s, that he belongs in the ring and that anybody should take it seriously, that he'd be able to compete with AJ Styles, who is a world championship level wrestler who everybody sees as legitimately tough in his prime years, having epic matches with John Cena and going back and forth trading wins with top stars. Why should anybody think Shane is anything but delusional that he can compete with Styles in the ring? The narrative structure of the show made Daniel Bryan's like, ooh, I don't think Styles knows what he got himself into. Well, no, it'd be more believable, less preposterous, if Daniel Bryan said, I don't think Shane knows what he's getting himself into. And had they spent an hour and 58 minutes, and again, this isn't that hard to do this, and it makes everything more palatable. For an hour and 15 minutes, have everybody talk about how ridiculous it is that Shane thinks he can compete with AJ Styles. Shane's an executive. He's not a trained professional athlete. He's, 20 years past his actual physical prime when he was still preposterously brawling with Kurt Angle and doing all that ridiculousness back then. But it's even worse now. From a narrative structure standpoint, there's no reason Shane should compete with any of these people. They should be acting in concert like Shane isn't thinking straight. And Daniel Bryan hinted at it on Talking Smack last week on Shane slurring his words. Don't know if this is him thinking straight. We got to rethink this. But they didn't do that just from the top of the show. It was Daniel Bryan scripted to say, AJ doesn't know what he got himself into. This is a McMahon he's facing, and McMahons are the toughest. And so it made what Shane did at the end less thrilling for even Shane McMahon fans. Had they spent an hour 58 minutes selling the idea that Shane is in trouble, that and Daniel Bryan and David Otunga and Tom Phillips and heck, even have Renee Young and other wrestlers on interviews. Like when they interviewed Randy Orton, they could even have Randy Orton go, have Renee Young interview Randy, which he did, and have Renee go, Randy, you can see over here in the background, AJ's waiting for Shane McMahon to arrive. Are you worried for Shane? you know, and have Randy go, yeah, I'm worried for Shane. You know, he's tough and he's determined, but you know, he doesn't belong in the ring with AJ Styles. I've been to the ring with AJ. Shane doesn't belong in the ring with him. And you know, they can have different wrestlers drop that. So then when Shane actually manages to take advantage of Styles with his guard down as he's entering the ring and beats him up and backdrops him and then drops an elbow off the top rope, the announcers are like, hey, wait a second, maybe Shane can compete with AJ, because look, he is willing to put his body on the line. This could be a fight. I want to see it. You know, acknowledge the skepticism that a lot of people have that Shane belongs in the ring with AJ, and then own that and acknowledge it, and then have that twist at the end that makes people feel perhaps a little bit better about this. And now Shane's a popular guy, but in the right context. We put a poll up on pwtorch.com, about 750 votes in. And right now, 38% of our poll respondents say they hate it. This is beneath AJ Styles and insulting. Another 20% disapprove and say Shane shouldn't be against the top star. That's 58% thumbs down. How many said they like it? 9%. How many say they love it? 3%. So you got 12% thumbs up, 58% thumbs down, 30% say just okay. I wish AJ was against an actual wrestler. Even that, you know, so the poll results are not scientific. It's among pwtorch.com readers. Maybe I drove away all the Shane McMahon fanatics in the last year, but I think that's indicative of something. And I think this show could have taken a different approach, but they can't do it. They can't have Shane show vulnerability. They can't have anyone express doubt. And I wish that they were willing to, because I would embrace the angle more if we didn't have this preposterous assumption permeating the entire show that this is okay, this is normal. You know, it's like the son of the owner of the Patriots deciding to suit up for the Super Bowl, and everybody going, hey, you know, he's never played football before, or he played pickup games, he has flag football league, he did rugby once in college. Yeah, this is normal. Let him put on an NFL uniform and go out there and be on the offensive line and protect Brady. And everybody goes, sure, why not? He's the son of the owner. It's preposterous. Makes no sense. And it becomes more kind of gag-inducing because it's the son of the actual promoter pushing this upon people. And Shane's popular enough. It's better for AJ than a lot of other options. And Shane's probably going to lose in the end, but it doesn't change the ridiculousness of the whole setup. And I thought they could have done a better job on the show in that respect. That said, in the end, what they're selling is Shane McMahon is a freak show. He's going to be willing to put his body on the line and do big stunts. Tune in to see what Shane comes up with against AJ. You know, and I mean, ultimately, it's a net positive in terms of, do you want to see WrestleMania? As long as fans don't dwell on the idea that I'd rather hear the violin music. I'd rather see AJ against Nakamura. I'd rather see AJ against Joe. I'd rather see AJ against Cena one-on-one. Your thoughts? Agree? Disagree? Somewhere in between? Let's talk about it for the duration of the program. So we're going to go to the first break. When we come back, phone calls the rest of the way.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
All right, we are back live. Don't forget, if you're not a VIP member, you can go VIP or get full details on what comes with a VIP membership at pwtorch.com/goVIP. About 75 audio updates per month, a whole wide array of formats, including the every single day Weight Killer Hotline, ad-free, plug-free editions of this PW Torch livecast, all compatible with iPhone apps, iTunes, Android apps, and you can access it on a mobile-friendly, ad-free page on your smartphone. You can create a home screen button for an app-like experience, accessing all the VIP-exclusive content, audio, PDFs, and text articles, along with access to our audio shows. You can stream them or download them right from your phone. All kinds of options. Full details at pwtorch.com/govip. Oh, instantly also unlock nearly 30 years of our archives covering the wrestling industry the way we do here on the show through all kinds of different chapters in technology over the years. But one thing has been consistent and still is the weekly Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter covering all the top stories and some of the behind-the-scenes aspects with hard-hitting editorials, cover stories, Q&As, the news, results, and all kinds of other stuff. So check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. To the phone lines we go. Speaking of VIP, Chris from Cincinnati, a VIP member, is up first. Chris, thanks for calling. What is on your mind tonight?
Hey, what's up, Wade? I know you already talked about AJ versus Shane, but watching that big elbow drop, that kind of led me to believe that maybe AJ will just kind of destroy Shane and he won't have a chance to do a big drop. I mean, a big drop at WrestleMania. I think, you know, maybe since they did it on SmackDown, maybe AJ is just going to beat Shane and Shane won't get any offense at all. I mean, do you think that has any chance of happening, or do you think he'll have an even bigger bump at WrestleMania? That's
if
all
there
I
were
got.
Any... Thanks, Chris. If there were any justice in the world, that's exactly what would happen, but it's a McMahon, and there's no way they're going to book Shane McMahon taking a beating from AJ and losing. I think Shane's going to leap off the WrestleMania sign. What else? I mean, that's what they're hinting at. He'd do anything to beat AJ Styles. I think he leaps off the WrestleMania sign. And in fact, I'll say this. Anything less than that, and Shane McMahon is a coward. You better dive off that WrestleMania sign to justify his place on that card. Otherwise, he's letting his fans down. So that's what I'm going with. He's letting his fans down, and he's being a coward if he doesn't jump off the WrestleMania sign. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. All right, up next, Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, wait, thanks for having me. Well, I guess basically I wanted to say, Wade, I agree with you 100% on the whole, you know, with AJ and Shane. I agree with everything you said. I mean, I feel like they're doing a good job to try to get us invested, and I feel like AJ's doing all he – I mean, the only thing I didn't like about the segment was I felt like when AJ got in the ring, it's like you might as well keep putting heat on him, like pretend he's going to shake his hand, and maybe Shane's like, oh, you know, maybe he's changed his mind all of a sudden, you know, and then AJ gets the heat back on him. But that's the only thing I didn't like about the segment, but I felt like they're doing the best they can, even though it's dumb and it's a dumb angle, and we wish they wouldn't go there. But I feel like they're trying to at least make it somewhat interesting. And you know AJ's going to do his thing at WrestleMania. Like, you know he's going to do his end of the bargain and have a great match, regardless of who it's against. And so I guess that's – but I do agree with what you said wholeheartedly. But a few things I had was the Miz stuff was hilarious. I mean, he's great. I love him to death. I mean, I think Cena, again, still deserves better, even though I liked it what they're – the way they're going with the tag team match. I mean, I like it a lot. It's just like I do wish Cena did have a singles match against somebody, you know, just – if it was Miz, fine. I mean, at least he's a one-on-one or whatever. But I like that. I want to know what you thought about the tag team match, because I thought the tag team championship match was really good. I kind of liked that the Usos got the titles, because I feel like American Alpha are just kind of like – I wish they could – hopefully they'll kind of develop their characters a little bit better maybe and let them chase maybe for a little while. But I wanted to see what you thought about it, because I thought it was a good match. And then – the women's stuff was just weird. I was with you when you had said initially that the women, just to jumble them all up like that, just really doesn't make any sense. I kind of wish they would have gone, you know, some kind of maybe even like a two or, you know, one-on-one or a three-way match. But I want to see what you thought about that, too.
Sure. Well, I definitely, watching the hype for this, wish we had a focused one-on-one feud, Alexa Bliss against somebody. And when Naomi went down and they couldn't hype a one-on-one match with them, if that was the plan, just go. I mean, just whatever. Do anything else. I miss Alexa Bliss being in a focused feud aimed at one person and having all the heels and all the baby faces just attack each other indiscriminately and brawl. It just doesn't do a lot. I mean, it doesn't do a lot to get you excited about the match. It's just it's not what you would do if you were hoping to draw the most money. It's what you do when you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by leaving anybody off the WrestleMania card. And that's not serving the fans. And WrestleMania should be about putting the best match out there, not or the best show on, not just giving everybody a chance on the roster to be on the show. That's not serving the fans. It'd be like if, yeah, whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of analogies. The tag match, I'm glad you brought it up. I was about to anyway. I thought it was a really good match. It was 14 minutes, commercial break in the middle. I mean, it's not an all-time classic, but they did a nice job, really nice job of the time that they had. The Usos were heelish. Otunga called them on it. JBL praised them for it. Jordan and Gable did their thing. I think the Usos are a credible tag team that are good in the heel role, and I'd like to see them hold the titles for a long time and dominate. But have American Alpha be their top rivals. I mean, let's have a Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express type feud between these guys. I'd be fine with that too. But let the Usos talk more. Let American Alpha talk more. Let us get invested in their personalities. My only criticism is this shouldn't have been an unannounced opening match. This should have been hyped as the main event of the show. They absolutely could have had this on before the AJ Shane segment, or ideally, I would argue, afterwards. And then you can do an update on AJ afterwards, having him, you know, freaking out in the trainer's room after the tag title change or something if you wanted. But frame it as a main event match. You know, portray it as a big deal. Just throwing it out there without any hype ahead of time, no promos, no investment, and then not mentioning it again. I mean, I've seen enough wrestling, and I know how it feels to watch a wrestling promotion that when there's a title change, they talk about it later. They should have interviewed the Usos. They should have interviewed American Alpha and gotten the reaction to the Usos winning and Alpha losing. That's part of the story that WWE forgets sometimes. It's about the thrill of victory in the agony of defeat. That's a huge hook for watching wrestling. And you get more invested in the action in the ring when you anticipate how people will react, and you actually get to see it when they win and lose. So, I mean, some critiques about the framing of it, but I mean, it was good. I mean, it was a good match. It just needed more hype ahead and more follow up afterwards and a different placement on the show.
Yeah, that makes sense. But no, what did you think about, what did you think when AJ went in the ring and Shane beat him? Like, did you like that? Or did you think they would have had AJ pretend like he's all of a sudden, you know, like, oh yeah, we're buddy buddy. And then all of a sudden just like start beating him up. I mean,
I like your idea, you know, of stretching it out a little bit more. I can't be too critical because I think the only believable way that Shane could get the advantage on Styles at all was to surprise him as Styles was entering the ring. And Shane as a babyface is justified in doing it. Booking 101 says, AJ blindsided me last week. I'm going to lure AJ into the ring and then blindside him this week when his guard is down. I don't have a big problem with Shane doing that from a character standpoint. I mean, you know, those barrage of little cute little punches are, you know, kind of eye roll inducing, but in the forearm, I mean, it's just his offense looks like Insane Clown Posse. It's not the best. But the bat, you know, and then oh God, that overhead suplex looked a little scary too. Maybe I'm just nervous when I see Shane, you know, do wrestling moves, but I thought the fact that AJ, you know, was clearing off the table was an excuse for Shane to have time to recover and then get the advantage on AJ. So, I mean, I'm, they could have done what you said and stretched the segment out a little bit more, but I think it's sort of a choice between a couple decent options.
Yeah. The only other thing I had, and then I'll let them get on is, when you talk about Orton every time I watch the match, you know, again, I'm like, you're right. I mean, Wade is right on. Like he's good, but he's not great. It's just a good match. It's whatever it is, you know, but I do like I'm kind of excited about the Corbin Ambrose. Like, I think it's going to be a good match. I mean, I like what they're doing with Baron. I like, you know, Dean's the freak, you know, and he's fun and hit what he does. So I want to see what you think about the hype of the match. Are you kind of, are you excited about the match? And that's all I had, Wade. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. Good conversation. Yeah, I like the Dean Corbin hype. I like Dean just standing on a forklift. I mean, just symbolically that worked well. You know, I'm a fan of Dean. I think he's a character, the way he's portrayed, it's not top tier main event level that I think he could have been. And that I thought he had a chance to be when he was in the Shield. But if he's going to be that next level down, you know, the Intercontinental title level, visits the main events now and then, this is a good character. It's entertaining. I like his sense of humor. I get his sense of humor. The way that he just kind of casually, you know, asks Baron if he's busy at the moment, to open up Randy to score the win with the RKO. I like the way that played out. And I'm looking forward to the match. I thought Corbin did a nice job with Orton in the match. I thought that this was a less phoned in, more enthusiastic, engaged version of Randy Orton. I thought it was a good TV match. So I thought it was a good part of the program. I thought the tag match and Ambrose and Orton, Baron Corbin and Orton were were the two in-ring highlights of the show. There was some good stuff there. All right, let's go to our second break. When we come back, we will take more calls. So if you haven't called us yet, you want to talk about SmackDown, 515-605-9345. Don't forget, tomorrow, Travis Bryant, you can find his show Wednesday nights live at eastcoastcast.com. You can find it on demand also at eastcoastcast.com. You'll join me live tomorrow at 1 Eastern. So join us then.
Ring Rush Radio has great ways for fans to interact with the show at patreon.com/ringrushradio. Our WrestleMania package is just $5, and you'll help produce the live show from Orlando on Saturday, April 1st. By donating to this tier, you'll receive the exclusive audio version of the live show, and then our reaction audio specials when we return from NXT on Saturday night and WrestleMania on Sunday night. So for just $5, you'll receive 3 exclusive episodes. If you wish to attend the live show, sign up on Patreon or send $10 to ringrustradio@gmail.com on PayPal with RRR in the notes section to guarantee your entry to the live show on Saturday, April 1st from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern. We'll be doing Q&A sessions, meet and greets, and raffle giveaways, so we hope you can make it.
We're back live. I'm Wade Keller. This is the PW Torch Livecast. We're on 5, sometimes 6 days a week. And Thursday night after TNA Impact Wrestling, join Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek for the post-Impact Wrestling episode of the Livecast. Just like post-SmackDown, they're on live taking your calls and reacting to the program. But first, earlier in the day Thursday, Kevin Eck is my guest at 1 Eastern. So 2 shows on Thursday, and then Friday night, Primetime Friday with Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan talking about the week in wrestling. All right, let's go back to the phone lines as promised and continue our conversation about tonight's SmackDown. We'll go to John from Arizona next, and then after that, Aaron from Allentown, Pennsylvania. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
I just have two things. Do you think there's any chance that John Cena will actually put over The Miz at WrestleMania? And why was I always forget his name, but the broadcaster I really like for SmackDown. Why
Morrow.
Was he? Morrow. Thank you. Why was he not there today?
I don't know. They said he was out sick. He might be sick.
I didn't hear that part.
They said that at the top of the show. So they acknowledged him. It's not like they've written him off and pretended he never existed or anything like that. He hasn't been active on social media all week after missing the show last week. I don't know. I mean, there could be some personal stuff going on with him. He's had some issues that he's been public about depression and so that could be resurfacing. I hate to speculate other than to say, yeah, it's peculiar missing 2 weeks in a row and not being active on social media when he's usually pretty active. So I guess we'll have to stay tuned and see if anything comes out confirms what's going on.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. Because I would just really love to see him at WrestleMania, and I don't want.
I know.
I think he's the best announcer there is between the whole crew right now. So.
I agree. It'll be a real shame if he's not at Mania. He's got 2 weeks to recover almost from whatever's going on. So hopefully he's there, and I think he. With his body of work and his enthusiasm for the sport, he deserves and belongs there. And I sure hope it happens. And by the way, before I go on, because I cannot forget to say this, JBL acknowledged this on the show. Our just thoughts go out to Jim Ross and his wife. His wife was on an electric scooter on her way, I think, to the local gym near their house and got hit by a car. She's got severe head injuries. Ross has indicated it's touch and go. If I assume implying whether she'll survive, and it's very serious issue. My heart just goes out to him. I'm getting emotional talking about
it. That's terrible.
The terrible situation. So, yeah, it just, you know, everybody just have Jim Ross in your thoughts, and our heart goes out to him. And I hope that things take a turn for the better.
Yeah, definitely. I saw his he's a great guy. I saw one of his shows when he came out to Arizona, and it was one of the most funniest things. I love JR, but yeah, no, that's terrible. That hopefully his wife does recover.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's no smooth way to transition, but what do you have to say about SmackDown?
I love SmackDown way more than Raw this week, I'll tell you that. I thought the match with the Usos and American Alpha was top notch. I wish I saved that to WrestleMania, because I thought that would have been a great WrestleMania match. So I'm intrigued what they're going to do for WrestleMania for the tag team championship.
Yeah, I am too. It's so tough with two. I mean, not that they should do this or I would endorse it, but it almost feels like there should be a Raw WrestleMania and a SmackDown WrestleMania, because they're just, how do you fit everybody onto one show and give the proper attention and time to all the matches? I mean, they can't come up with the WrestleMania lineup for SmackDown unless you move Undertaker back to SmackDown and have, you know, one special attraction match from part-timers also be part of the SmackDown roster. But overall, it feels like they've got enough content and enough talent easily for two shows, especially if you throw in 205 Live. And I'm worried, you know, the tag titles aren't going to, well, I shouldn't say worried. It's a fact. The tag titles aren't going to be featured in any kind of prominent way. But if they just do a rematch at Mania 2-on-2, it can be a really good match. And I'm certainly for that more than another multi-team match with more than two teams.
Yeah. I'm definitely for that as well. Cause, today's match was, I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's all I got, though, and just thanks for taking my call, Wade.
Sure, thanks, Sean. Appreciate you calling. It's John in Arizona. Up next, Aaron in Allentown, and then after that, we'll go to Mark from Pittsburgh. And if you're not in line on the phone banks, get in line, 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. If you call, push 1 on your keypad to move into the caller queue. Otherwise, you'll be in the standby queue, and I won't see you. All right, let's go to Aaron. Thanks for calling, Aaron. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, hey, wait, what's going on, man? I was just looking on my phone. I don't know if you saw this, but Roman Reigns tweeted to the Usos, congratulations on winning the title. You know, you always mention about characters and social media. It kind of makes me think of, like, when Bret Hart and Owen Hart feuded together, and Owen Hart won the Intercontinental title after their feud. Do you think Bret Hart, if Twitter was around, would have tweeted Owen Hart and said, hey, congratulations, our bloodline is... sets the bar and standard. I think stuff like that is what really, you know, hurts characters like that. I just wanted to take your opinion on that. I have one other topic yet too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a happy middle ground. You know, Roman goes, congrats to the Usos. Wish they didn't cheat. Wish they showed more class in victory. I mean, just, you know, so, you know, say I'm happy for them, but as usual, I don't approve of the way they went about it. I mean, just do what David Otunga said. It's not that hard. Then, you know, because, yeah, I mean, Roman Reigns' character shouldn't approve of the way that the Usos went about it. Not that it was, you know, this egregious, you know, it wasn't that egregious, but still. Why undercut the character? Same reason they shouldn't have heels doing PSAs, anti-smoking PSAs. You got half the roster who can tell kids not to smoke, and you pick Natalya and AJ Styles. I mean, it's just silly. Why would heels take time out of their day to tell kids not to smoke? You know, I mean, Baron Corbin would never do that. And I believe him because he's been consistent in his character. Baron Corbin, if they asked him to do a PSA, Baron's character, I believe, and I would go, I have better things to do, like go drink at the bar and hit on women. I mean, that's what Baron's character would say. And that's what AJ should say. So, yeah, I mean, it's just all things... they have all these options. Just choose the better options. It's not the end of the world, but I think it's more symptomatic of their approach to things now, which is, you know, none of this stuff counts or matters, but kind of does. It all adds up.
It does. It's just, I think it's giving more reason for fans to dislike them. When you see stuff like that, it's just, it's eye rolling. It really is.
Yep.
I thought the announcers were really good tonight too. I think Otunga and JBL play off each other really well. I think they did really good tonight. I remember last week I was saying, yeah, I like the two-man just two of them last week, but I think Otunga on there did pretty good tonight. And the Bray Wyatt thing, you said it last week, yawn. I mean, it just got cornier tonight, even with the cross that looked like I don't even know what that thing was in his hand.
Jim Cornette's tennis racket.
There you go, the loaded tennis racket.
It was crazy.
Oh man, it was terrible. It was awful. Also, I'm going to be at Raw on Monday night in Philly. So I'll give you a call on my way home from my cell phone. It'll be a different area code, but I'll email you my number so you can.
Oh, good.
I can give you a live correspondent.
I'm eager to see how Philly treats Roman Reigns and Goldberg. It's always interesting night
for that reason alone. Because
yes.
I really am not in the Raw much, but I am very into seeing crowds react to Roman Reigns. My buddy actually was just at the Allentown show on Sunday, and he went with his son, and his son said to him, why are they booing him so much? Because the place went crazy when he came out. They just booed the crap out of him.
Yep. No, I mean, I guess you can't be surprised he gets booed on almost every TV show, sometimes more than others. But, if a kid asks why you boo Roman Reigns, I mean, he can spend 10 minutes explaining it to him. there's a lot of reasons, going back to CM Punk's podcast and over-reliance on the Superman punch and I just do what I'm told and hope to get rich. And tater tots, and on and on. I mean, it's like, the ship has sailed in terms of a lot of people's opinion on Roman, and it's tough to earn that back. But yeah, I agree with you on Bray and Randy. Jan, I did the cover story of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter last week for VIP members. I wrote about what a disaster the storyline was. How just awful the payoff was. And I agree with you on the announcing. I thought Tom Phillips. I've always liked Tom Phillips' work. I mean, I like a lot of the guys, like Todd Grisham and company. I mean, there's just, you sort of look and you go, all right, he was brought in because he's a young, good-looking guy, photogenic, and the announcing was secondary, and he's solid. And maybe he gets better. And I think he has gotten better as he's done more announcing. And so he's more than serviceable in the role, but not much more than that at this point. But it's fine. I agree with you on JBL and Otunga, though. I think what the deal is Otunga's a Harvard graduate and a smart guy, and he doesn't put up with crap. And JBL is better when he's not picking on Byron Saxton, when they don't have somebody who's just the butt of jokes being picked on. I like their announcing better. JBL is better when he doesn't have Mauro Ranallo or Byron Saxton to pick on, and he's just sticking to doing a good job getting over the product. And Otunga is JBL's equal on or superior on intellect. I don't think JBL looks down on him, and Otunga doesn't seem like a guy who's going to take to being made the butt of jokes, and that actually keeps JBL in check and keeps the nonsense out, and that's where then JBL shines better. When, it's like if he wants to every once in a while make a comment about, this made my night, James Ellsworth got hit. That's fine. It's not fine when it's 2 hours of it. And we got a tiny bit of it and it was fine, but it was in check. So I agree. This was a decent combination. Although I still miss Mauro Ranallo's call of the matches. I wish he was
totally
there
agreed.
For the tag title change.
Yeah.
Cool. Aaron, thanks.
All right, man.
Appreciate
that's all
it.
I got
we'll
for tonight, man.
Look forward to it.
Yep, yep. I'll email you my number. Thanks, man.
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks. All right, let's go to, who do we say now? Mark in Pittsburgh. There you are. Go ahead, Mark. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to bring up AJ and Shane again, but real quick, did you see Triple H on First Take today? Did you mention that at all? Or read
about
it?
I didn't see it. How'd it go?
Well, no, it was just kind of interesting. I mean, when he was introduced, Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman weren't in the studio. He was just introduced by the female host, Molly Karam, I believe her name is.
Yeah.
And he was introduced by his like super long title, Paul Levesque.
Oh,
but she also said he will be facing Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Okay, cool. So I guess we don't have to watch Raw next week. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was kind of funny. He didn't address it. So I'm like, okay, well, that was maybe an unintentional spoiler, but he didn't react to it at all. And then he just went into, a bunch of other stuff. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So unintentional spoiler. You know what I mean?
Or we can just say she didn't know what she was talking about. And she was ahead of the game. She was assuming.
Yeah, more than likely. More than likely,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but to SmackDown tonight, I know you alluded to before when talking about, I mean, I wasn't going to call in tonight until I saw the final segment because I'm like, I know Wade's probably going crazy about this right now because Shane was throwing punches. He was jumping through tables, the whole thing, right? So I started laughing. I'm like, okay, well, I want to get his perspective on it. He went on a nice little rant. But then with him jumping through the table and then what he did last year with Undertaker, jumping off the cage, and his history with Kurt Angle with what he did, I mean, what could he possibly do this year? Like you said, what's he going to do, jump off the sign?
If he does anything less, he's a coward. If he does anything less, he's a coward, and he's letting his fans down. All right, okay.
Right, now, and here's the thing.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings me back to last night on Raw. So what do you think if he keeps doing this, let's say 5-10 years from now, you think Triple H and Stephanie are still going to be playing the heel authority role and then make fun of him when he comes out hobbling around and can't remember his lines because all the stunts he did?
You know what? I would not put it past Stephanie's character to do that 10 years from now. I hate to say.
Well, because that's what they did to Mick Foley last night, right? So he's basically kind of doing the same thing.
Absolutely. I do not enjoy seeing that aspect. I'm glad that Mick Foley got to, you know, to a certain degree, leave on his own terms and stand up to her, tear up the index cards, you know, say goodbye to some people. And, they didn't just throw him in a trash can. But yeah, I mean, it's uncomfortable watching that. And it comes across as ungracious and unappreciative and perhaps just oblivious to their role in that happening. Mick Foley might have been doing that outside of WWE because he did before he got there and he did after he left. It's not like, well, they said, hey, you look like somebody who should be doing stunt moves. Why don't you start doing that? Mick was going to end up in rough shape anyway. Ole Anderson told him when he was running WCW and Mick Foley was the hot young hardcore favorite act coming in from the Philadelphia independent area and world class in global wrestling. And he came into WCW and Ole Anderson said, you're going to be in a wheelchair by the time you're 50. And everyone scoffed at him going, but he's so cool. Well, Ole was right. You know, I mean, Mick put his body through more than he probably should have. But WWE made a lot of money off of it and took advantage of it. And it helped get Triple H over when Triple H was struggling to get over as a top guy. It feels distasteful to hear them mocking him in the gleeful way that they do, even if it's heels in character. It sometimes rings a little too true and comes across as a little cruel.
Right, exactly. So that's why I just think it's kind of ironic that Shane is doing what he's doing. You know, like I agree with the whole aspect of, you know, AJ Styles being the performer that he is. And we all, you know, most of the people listening to the show want to see AJ Styles put on a classic with someone that's in the same league as him as far as that goes. But so Shane is doing all the stuff to his body that he really doesn't have to, you know.
Yep.
So he's just breaking himself down. And so it's like, well, are you going to make fun of him 10 years from now when needs hip replacement surgery? You know, it's just kind of ironic, I think.
It is. And like I said, I wouldn't put it past Stephanie to find a way to do it in 10 years. But hopefully for Shane's sake, that doesn't happen. The fact that Shane wrestles, you know, once a year and then takes many years off. Means that it probably won't happen the way that it has. I mean, there's a much greater chance of it happening to Mick than Shane. You know, and that's one of my criticisms of Shane in doing that style is he gets to raise the bar and do really dangerous stunts with no fear for where his paycheck comes from or getting injured and having to downgrade to his downside or get cut because or not afford medical bills. You know, I mean, he doesn't have to worry about any of that. And that's one of the issues I have with him getting this special privilege. It's like, you know, just extending the football analogy, the son of the promoter getting on the field to relieve Tom Brady in an NFL game, and the son of the owner has a red jersey and he's redshirted, and you can't touch him, you can't tackle him, and he gets all the time in the world to throw a pass. It's special treatment for someone who doesn't go to practice every day, and it raises the bar for everybody else. He gloms other people's moves, and he does big stunts, and if something goes wrong, he's got the ultimate golden parachute. And it makes everybody else seem less gutsy, less ballsy, less risk-taking, or it just diminishes the specialness of the other chances that other wrestlers do take when you have the son of the promoter going out there and doing it. I've been against it for 15 years. I've been writing about it for 15 plus years. So this isn't a new thing, but it is. I think it feels a little more insulting and egregious when it's WrestleMania and AJ Styles.
Right. Yeah. No, I know where you're coming from, man. That's why I brought up the conversation, because it's, I mean, yeah. It's interesting. There's a lot of different aspects of it, you know?
Absolutely.
And real quick, and then you can get to another, well, you can get to another caller real quick, but hey, with the VIP, because I've been on the VIP recently too. And, I think anyone who's listening, I'll do a plug for you. Anyone who likes listening to audio, and I spend a lot of time in the car. I drive a lot, so I eat it up. But the WrestleMania 1-10 recaps you did with Pat McNeil and Bruce Mitchell.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're worth the price of admission. Anyone listening to this, just those, because they're so funny. And listen to your banter with those two back and forth. They're really good. So being that it's WrestleMania season, get it just for that, literally.
Thank you, Mark.
There
I appreciate
you go, man.
Excellent.
Yeah, no problem, man. Have a good night.
Absolutely. I'll take testimonials anytime. If you want to know more about the VIP membership, we'll have a full plug at the end of the show, full commercial for it. But pwtorch.com/govip, pwtorch.com/govip. When you sign up at pwtorch.com/govip, after you get your password, log in and go to pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. Now, don't get confused. That's not the sign-up page. That's after you sign up. Go to pwtorchvip.com. That's the VIP site, /VIP tips. We also have a link at the top of the page for telling new members where to go. That walks you through where to find all of our stuff in our archives, like just really handy links. Here's where you go for the year, the listing of all the back issues by year. Here's where you go for our interviews. Here's where you go for audio shows. Here's how to subscribe to the podcast feed broken down by category. That also directs you to what Mark was talking about, the WrestleMania special section, which has tons of retro audio roundtables looking back at the first WrestleManias, and also the real-time night of show WrestleManias that we recorded the night of the show. So the WrestleMania special section includes our roundtables of WrestleManias 1 through 15 on Bruce Mitchell and me reviewing them. They're all WrestleMania 1, we did 62 minutes, then we did 80 minutes on WrestleMania 2, 62 minutes on, 128 minutes on WrestleMania 3, 54 minutes on WrestleMania 4, I take that back, 81 minutes on WrestleMania 4. It was broken into two parts, and on and on. So, I mean, like, hour and a half on each of the first 15 WrestleManias, plus, since WrestleMania 21, all of our same night of show, post-show roundtables are available also. Bruce Mitchell and Pat McNeil joining me starting at WrestleMania 21, April 3rd, 2005. So a great chance to catch up on analysis on past WrestleManias. And of course, if you're VIP, then you can go VIP in time to catch all of our coverage WrestleMania weekend, including WrestleMania 3's post-pay-per-view roundtable. Pat McNeil and Greg Parks will have the live cast here taking calls right after WrestleMania ends. And then we'll be recording on the VIP side for VIP members, the roundtable, and we'll put that up right after the live cast ends. So a doubleheader on WrestleMania Sunday, a week from Sunday. Yes, it's already a week from Sunday. All right, here's a word on our sister site, MMATorch.com, and then we'll be back with more calls. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we're back live. This is PW Torch Livecast SmackDown Post Show, and we're taking your phone calls, 515-605-9345. We've got a mystery caller from the 347 area code, and then after that, 704. So you're on deck 704. 347, go ahead and state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade. It's Chris from New York. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Chris. Good to hear from you. What you got for me tonight?
Well, first, I didn't know about that you had the press one. I was on standby for so long. I was like, oh, I kept waiting for you to take my call. And I was like, oh, you said that. I was like, oh, okay, that's what I have to do to get it.
Yep.
Before I get to my thoughts on SmackDown, I want to ask you a quick question. When you're talking about people for, you know, big name wrestlers on like a WrestleMania, there might be three or four truly big matches featuring big stars. How do you gauge how much one match that's not in the main event has drawn in comparison to the actual main event?
I mean, you can't. You know, I mean, you can't scientifically. You study the business. I mean, you follow the I follow the business for, you know, a very long time and written about it, reported on it. And then you anecdotally just put together an instinct for it. I get all the house show reports. I read about crowd response. I get indications of TV ratings when somebody's featured or somebody's not, and what the trends are when they're advertised for an hour that pops a rating. Anecdotally through emails and phone calls, obviously crowd reactions on television, on pay-per-view, what people report. Just looking at the talent and how they're featured and where they're positioned plays into whether they're a big part of drawing or not. I mean, Baron Corbin, if WrestleMania does really well and there's a ton of network signups, Baron Corbin doesn't get credit. Why? Because he's in a mid-card match with Dean Ambrose. But if WrestleMania does really well and it's clear the hype is on Lesnar Goldberg and Shane AJ and Bray Randy, then we kind of figure out, okay, who gets the most credit among those top matches? And, you know, when it gets down to it, it's an educated guess. You know, you take all the anecdotal information and you try to run it through a filter and come up with a theory, and then you test it against how they draw at house shows when the others aren't on the show. And then retroactively, 6 months from now, you look back and you go, yeah, you know what? Roman Reigns, when he headlined house shows, attendance went up 2,000 people on average when he was on them compared to shows that he wasn't, and that difference wasn't there before Mania. I bet he's the reason they had the surge at Mania. He really got over with a part of the crowd. So you just have to piece it together. I mean, not every calculation is a number put into a calculator and you hit the equal sign. A lot of it is what I just described. You got to piece it together.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
As far as SmackDown goes, I thought it was okay. It wasn't the greatest show. I definitely think it was better than Raw, but it usually is. I feel like SmackDown is at a point where we need to see more from the show. It's rare. They have the fundamentals down, the fundamentals of making a good pro wrestling show. I feel like we need to see something extra of them to help them stand out a little bit more. I think the Shane and AJ match, I had a better idea for AJ. I thought he should have faced like a Finn Balor at WrestleMania, sort of like an inter-promotional match. I think that would be much better than him going against Shane. I just don't see the points. I think he needs a better opponent. What would you think of seeing AJ and versus Finn in a promotional match, and that ends in like a DQ or a count out? Instead of Shane and AJ.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. I mean, I think if AJ Styles tonight had just destroyed Shane McMahon, let's say Shane put up a fight, AJ fought back, gave him the Styles clash, and the announcer said, you know, yeah, Shane just doesn't belong in the ring with AJ. AJ's at another level. You know, Shane maybe in his early 30s could hang with some people, but he's in his late 40s. He's not as active as he used to be, and a lot of people find this out. You know, I mean, a lot of people are forced into retirement who are professional athletes because they just can't compete with the younger athletes anymore. And they could tell that story, but have AJ do it in such a vile way that Shane McMahon says, all right, you can come out in a body cast for all I care, or neck brace, whatever. Go, I can't compete. Doctors won't clear me. I'm in no physical shape to do it, but I've got somebody who's going to fight on my behalf. And, you know, we talked the last 2 weeks on the show, cue the violin music, Shinsuke Nakamura comes out as a surrogate for Shane. Or Finn Balor, he's property of Raw, but, I mean, Undertaker's property of SmackDown, and where has he been WrestleMania season? Nowhere. So, I mean, they can tell the story that Finn Balor's on loan or his, you know, whatever. I mean, they don't care about that stuff that much to worry about it. And then, yeah, have AJ against Finn Balor and have a classic. That said, I'd still rather have a whole feud, you know, where the match isn't just Shane having somebody wrestle on his behalf, but have a whole full-fledged feud, have a world title on the line or something like that. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, of course we'd – I think just about everybody would rather see AJ against Shinsuke or Joe or Finn Balor if there was a way to have it fit storyline-wise into the roster split and have AJ have a showcase match. He deserves to have an opportunity in his prime – at a WrestleMania classic. And instead he's in a match that if this was MMA would be a Bellator fight, you know, a circus match. and it's not a serious match, and it's not taking advantage of the primary skill set that makes AJ so well respected in what he does. Chris, anything else for me?
One last thing.
Sure.
Watching the women's segment, I couldn't help but think, we've seen this so many times. They've done that where all the challengers sort of run in and face each other. They've done that for like before Royal Rumbles, before the Elimination Chamber, they've done that. I thought that whole type of interaction, I think, is really overdone. And it looks stupid for Alexa Bliss to come out when she's the heel champion. It would make sense for her to stay back and let everybody beat each other up, so come WrestleMania, she has the advantage. What did you think of that segment? Do you think they could have done that a little bit better?
Oh, yeah. It was just thrown together. It was just like, let's start a match and then have Natalya interfere and then everybody else run out. You guys just brawl with each other and then Alexa will stand tall at the end. I mean, it's just there's nothing to that makes you want to see the match. It's just a live action billboard for a multi-woman match. And yeah, it didn't make me, I don't think it made anybody more eager to see the match. It was just a 3-minute segment to make people realize that match is happening and here's who's in it.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to get out of here.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Yep. Thanks for calling. All right. Up next, area code 704. Go ahead and state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade. This is Marcus from North Carolina.
Hey, Marcus. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you've been kind of vocal about, like, comedy stuff. And the fake, like, Total Bellas sketches and everything that they had going on this evening.
Yeah.
Like, Maurice, I thought, came through pretty well in those, and I was really surprised to be just laughing out loud at her over and over throughout all that.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of her work when she was around previously, largely based on when she was talking, because she just came off as so vile. And I don't know. It's really been kind of hit or miss with her sometimes when they let her talk for very long during this run with The Miz and everything. But I don't know. I thought this all came through pretty well tonight. What did you think of this segment?
I raved about it at the top of the show in a good way. I was laughing out loud too. I Maurice was fine. I agree with you. Thumbs up to her performance. I thought Miz was even better. I mean, when he walked down those stairs imitating John Cena's, you know, super stiff rubber action figure, you know, I mean, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. He totally has Cena down. It's must see. I mean, I loved it. I thought Miz was great. I don't want to repeat myself too much from the beginning of the show, but I applaud John Cena for having a sense of humor about himself and letting that get out there, because man, did they lampoon him, and spot on did they ever.
Yeah, and then on the other side of that, for whatever reason, they had Tyler Breeze, unfortunately, dressed up.
We haven't talked about that. Yeah. I know. What do you say? I mean, it feels like I don't know whose idea that was, but yeah, it's one of those things Tyler Breeze might not live down. For those who didn't see, Tyler Breeze was the imitated Nikki Bella, down to very, very small, tight black compression shorts, and fake boobs and a wig, and JBL, I think, was a little turned on and thought it actually was Nikki. And then when the real Nikki came out, he's like, oh, there's real Nikki. It was quite the display. I mean, it was kind of funny, but it's also, I mean, it's just Tyler Breeze deserved more. I don't know if deserved is a better word, but I think he had the potential to be a gorgeous Jimmy Garvin level wrestler who was a semi-main event, you know, act in the AWA. World championship level challenger in world class. He was kind of a second tier guy, feuded with Gentleman Chris Adams, great valets, Precious and Sunshine, one of the kind of the first great valet era in professional wrestling, and inspired a lot of others. I thought he could have been kind of that act, but I don't think Vince McMahon saw much of Gorgeous Jimmy, and they soured on Tyler, and Tyler and Fandango are just kind of, you know, low card placeholders now. But I guess credit to him for squeezing into those shorts. I don't know. That's all. I don't know what else
to the point about Tyler there. What can't you?
Yeah.
I was always kind of surprised that, like, it didn't go very long with Tyler, just because I would have thought that Vince would have given it a little bit more time to, I don't know, run its course, just given how long they went with, like, Rick Martel doing the model gimmick. I didn't feel like it was such a foreign concept where he wouldn't have been able to kind of get behind it a little, but I don't know. Maybe after Mania, you know, like, there's a draft or something, and hopefully, I don't know, what would you think of him ending up on, like, 205 Live or something like that? Getting, I mean, because he's within the weight parameters, I believe.
You know, the
you
thing about
he
him
have
is...
have a better chance there?
Yeah, the problem with Tyler Breeze is he's not... He's a smaller wrestler, but he doesn't – he's not a particularly flashy, athletic wrestler. And so that's where I just sort of think he's kind of that, you know, borderline heavyweight who's better off in the mix with the heavyweights than kind of dragging down – I don't know. I mean, I sort of have mixed feelings because I also think the cruiserweight division needs to have some people who aren't just Tony Nese, Arya Davari. You know, like they're not just – look like swimsuit models who are really good athletes. And, you know, Tyler Breeze has that over the top personality who can be probably a valuable jobber who can take bumps and lose to some of the guys on the rise, you know, a bit of a heel gatekeeper. And there is a legit role for that. I mean, it probably is the better place for him at this point. I think a better place in the long run, had they protected him, would be on the main roster and kind of that, the mold of gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. But that ship has sailed. I mean, I don't think you can get back there. So the problem now is as a comedy jobber on Raw or SmackDown, you can't have him go to 205 Live and be competitive, because if you do that, it demeans the whole 205 Live cruiserweight division. So, you know, he'd have to be kind of a mid-card gatekeeper, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just one final point, then I'm done.
Sure.
One thing I did really like that Randy Orton did was his little quick acknowledgement to Dean, you know, before he went for the pin. So that was a nice little something that you don't usually see when someone does the distraction finish, as it were. But yeah,
all right,
I guess that's
cool.
All I got.
Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought Randy was more engaged tonight than he usually is. So give him credit for that. All right. Quick break. Our last break. And then we'll come back and finish up. 315 and 518 are the next two up. So hold on until after this commercial message. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. All right, we're back. This is the live cast, final segment of the show, and more phone calls. Let's get right to it. 315, you are up. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hi, this is John from Syracuse.
Hey, John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Hi. So I just really, with all the problems that I see with the AJ and Shane feud, the one that kind of sticks out the most to me is what exactly the feud is going to resolve. And then I just keep thinking about the SmackDown after WrestleMania and what the relationship between Shane and AJ is going to be like. Is why, if Shane, because I'm assuming AJ is going to go over, why would AJ even listen to anything that authority figure would have to say if he is just going to say, hey, I just beat you at WrestleMania, why would I listen to anything you say?
Well, I'm thinking there's a chance that AJ Styles moves to Raw, so that would resolve that. That after the match, you know, Shane trades AJ, or there's a draft, and that AJ doesn't think he can get a fair shake, or Shane, you know, resents him too much, and Daniel Bryan just says this isn't working, we need to trade him, it's hard to do, and you know, they trade AJ for Roman Reigns or something. The other option is AJ turns babyface, that Shane earns his respect. And Shane, or AJ, earns Shane's respect, because, you know, that's what it, you know, everyone wants to earn the respect of the McMahons. And AJ goes babyface, and they move on from there. But yeah, I mean, it's not really resolving anything. It's just an excuse to get Shane out there as a special attraction and to give AJ a quote, big name opponent, because the way things kind of fell into place, that there wasn't one for AJ. And so they went with Shane. I mean, you know, we kind of hinted about this being talked about you know, end of December, early January, leading into the Rumble. And I floated, you know, what if Shane wins the Royal Rumble and is the world title challenger for AJ? This is better than that, at least. So, yeah, what else, John?
Yeah, I mean, that was it. I mean, I guess I just, the only comment I have left is, God, those punches Shane was throwing tonight. Wow, those were horrible. But yeah, first time caller.
I'm glad you called. How'd you hear about our show?
So I've been listening to you guys for about probably 2 years now.
Cool.
My brain doesn't go back that far. I think maybe it was the Stone Cold podcast that I was checking out.
sure.
Yeah, I think it was Stone Cold.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the caller list, and hopefully we'll hear from you again soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
Excellent. Thanks, Josh. All right, and up next, 518. 518, go ahead and state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, it's Matt from Philly. How you doing?
Doing good. You going to Ron Monday?
Yeah, I'm trying to get tickets. If I do, I'll definitely make sure I give you a call.
Yeah, excellent.
But yeah, I was calling. We talked the last couple weeks about the AJ Shane match, and was holding out hope to the very, very last minute for the violins, but you know, we didn't obviously get that.
There's always next week.
There is. Weird segment, though. You know, AJ, I don't know if you've ever been really mad at somebody or about on the verge of jumping somebody, and then AJ just sort of says, oh, you know what? No, I totally respect you now, and I'm going to come in here and shake your hand. It just seemed to be a very switch pretty quick.
Well,
didn't make a lot of sense.
To credit to WWE, I think we were supposed to think, yeah, right, AJ, you're going to pretend that you're going to respect him and shake his hand, but you're going to actually, you know, kick him in the nuts. So, I think we were meant to not buy into AJ's comments more than think that, you know, AJ really did somehow earn his respect because of what happened last week.
I guess. And then you get JBL when Shane starts clearing off the table. Shane, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, we haven't seen Shane jump off the ring under the table a million times, but didn't really want to talk about that. A lot of callers have talked about that, and we've talked about that. I wanted to talk about Cena. I thought it was a great segment, and unlike a lot of the angles where you kind of bury somebody, I think The Miz, and this has been a great segment for Cena because a lot of his fans, the kids, I don't think what Miz is saying is really going to get to them, but all the hardcore fans who take umbrage with Cena sometimes, I think they're loving it. So I think it's really the best of both worlds, having that, you know, cut so deep and not really affect Cena's fans. You know, being the kids, obviously. What do you think as far as Cena? Do you think he's just doing this for Nikki, or do you think WWE is sort of saying, you're going to take all this time off, we're only going to put you in mid-cards? I feel like this WrestleMania, you know, not really a lot of matches that I'm excited for. Really think Cena being at the top of the card could help that out. You know, what do you think? Do you think this is just a one-year thing for Nikki, or do you think this is what Cena's going to be doing from now on?
I'd rather see Cena in a main event one-on-one match. I mean, the match he had with AJ Styles earlier this year, the quality of work he's done in the ring, when he turns it up and it's time to sell tickets, Cena's one of the best. Watching him, you know, parade around doing stereo attitude adjustments with girlfriend Nikki and just, you know, having the grin on his face, it's not using Cena to his capability. I think Cena probably would rather be in a top match, and I think it's going to take a while for us to know the full true story on what brought this on. You know, the question is, does Cena want Nikki and him in a prominent WrestleMania kind of special attraction match because he wanted to work with Miz and he wanted Nikki to get the spotlight and it can parlay into some wedding angle and it gives Cena not a night off, but you know, cause I don't think Cena's begging for nights off in terms of having the types of matches he had with AJ, but it gives him just more of a special attraction match that does appeal to a certain segment of the WWE fan base. I don't think that everybody's rolling their eyes at this. I think there's people who watch Total Bellas, Total Divas, and they're into that, and they think this is kind of a fun match, and the hype has been fun so far. So, I mean, I'm not that down on it, but ultimately, it's like with AJ. WrestleMania should be a showcase of the best wrestlers going one-on-one, having great matches. I wish Alexa Bliss was in one-on-one. I wish Charlotte was one-on-one. But that's not what we're getting, and Vince wants to make it feel special and different, and if that's all that is, then so be it. But I mean, Cena versus Undertaker would have been, you know, an epic match that would be remembered for the ages at this point in their careers. And they didn't deliver that. Instead, Vince wanted to sneak in a chance for Roman Reigns to have a moment with Taker. I get it. I get that there's a case to be made for it. But, yeah, I mean, it's John Cena, and he's earned people's respect, and he's had great matches. I'd much rather see him in an epic one-on-one, historically significant match, and that's not what we're going to see a week from Sunday.
Me too. And it's strange. I mean, last year, like, half the roster was hurt, so you sort of had that as a built-in,
yeah,
I want to say excuse, but, you know, you went in knowing, all right, it's half to his capability, but I think really Finn's probably the only one that's probably going to be missing WrestleMania this year from an injury standpoint. So just kind of weird that just not excited about any of the matches. I'd probably say Roman and Taker right now is one that I'm looking forward to. Really nothing on SmackDown doing much for me. You know, I don't like the women's segment. I think Alexa Bliss is money as a heel, and, you know, she lost to Naomi, and now she's losing to Mickie James clean as a champion. It just doesn't doesn't seem like they're doing enough. I hate to be always complaining about everything, but I just think with the roster that they have, they could be putting on much better wrestling matches. Just what it's supposed to be, right?
No, I agree. We put a poll up on PWTorch.com this week saying, rate your enthusiasm for WrestleMania right now relative to past WrestleManias. And it's 70% say it's below how they usually feel. Only 11% say it's more than usual. 19% thumbs in the middle. You know, I mean, it's not a good sign.
The brand split has anything to do with that? I mean, I know they've had since the summer to build this up, but I know normally they plan it out a year in advance, kind of. But you would think, I don't know, you would think with all the interesting matchups they could come up with, the brand split shouldn't be an excuse. But I don't know if kind of made the pairings uneven, maybe. I don't know. It just seems.
Yeah, I mean, they had fewer choices. They had fewer choices of matchups because half the guys couldn't wrestle half the other guys. That said, I think there are good options out there. That didn't stop them from doing Undertaker Reigns. So I think they could have made a better lineup. And I think as this is coming together and we're entering now the final two shows, I mean, SmackDown's over this week. So we got Raw and SmackDown next week. I don't think we're going to see any huge developments. And, you know, most of the attention, I think when you ask people about the last 2 weeks of TV, mostly they're thinking about Hunter. I think they need to change that next week and have people thinking about Brock and Goldberg again. I think people are down on the show in part because Goldberg Lesnar hype has just felt ho hum. You know, I mean, they're not talking about championships. I think Vince McMahon and company underrate how much fans who are invested in the pro wrestling narrative care about championships and their legacy and being online at Mania. And we have another show go by. Corbin didn't talk about how much the Intercontinental title means to him. He just happened to challenge the champion, but he didn't make it seem like that was important to him. Randy Orton didn't talk about the world title that Bray holds. Bray didn't talk about retaining it. Goldberg and Lesnar aren't really talking about it. It's just that takes away something too. And I think Vince McMahon greatly underestimates how that can actually diminish people's enthusiasm for Mania. If the fans are watching going, I don't feel like this counts for anything. It's just a thrill ride instead of an epic battle of champions and challengers. And they can tell that story within the narrative structure with no shame. Just because it's all orchestrated and scripted doesn't mean while you're watching, just like watching Walking Dead, that you don't act like it's life and death, that these titles are on the line, and that's the be-all, end-all. They should act that way, and they're not. And I think that's one of the underrated things hurting WrestleMania this year, too.
Agreed. Yeah, I think until Jericho came out with the U.S. title around his waist last night, I kind of forgot that was even an active title. Haven't really done anything with it or anything. So, Wade, well, I'll let you go. I appreciate you taking my call. And it's my first – I went VIP last June, so this is my first WrestleMania as VIP. So I'm really excited about that. Love all the content you guys put out, and appreciate it. And be talking to you soon.
Cool, great. Appreciate the endorsement, Matt. Thanks very, very much for being a VIP member. I got to run, so we're going to end the show on that note. Sorry if we didn't get to you. I've got a lot of people on hold we didn't get to. But here are more details on our VIP membership, and we'd love for you to go VIP this season. Here are details on what comes with it and how to sign up. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions
of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. It's always great when Travis Bryant joins me on the live cast, and he is in rotation tomorrow on the Midweek Flagship. That's at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific time. Join us live. That's Wednesday, March 22nd. Travis Bryant joins me for the Midweek. We'll talk about primarily WrestleMania hype and a few other topics. If you can join us live with a phone call, that's great. Otherwise, email the show with a topic or question suggestion, a question or topic suggestion, to pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Thursday, ex-WWE creative team member Kevin Eck. If you have not heard Kevin Eck on this program before, I urge you to go to pwtorchlivecast.com, go to the interview section in our menu, and just list the interviews, and try to skip past all the other interviews, the Rob Van Dam one from last week, and Jim Ross, and DDP, and Matt Morgan, and Steve Austin, and on. Just go find Kevin Eck, or do a search for Kevin Eck on the site, and bring up those shows and listen to them. You will learn a lot about the inner workings of WWE, and just great conversation about not only opinions on what WWE does, but analysis of why they do what they do and how they go about it. They're really good shows. He's been on probably five times prior. That'd be my guess. And it's always great. And he'll be on with me on Thursday. So make that a destination to listen on Thursday also. And then just a reminder, the new post-Impact show after Impact Wrestling every Thursday night. Show support for their show. We had new callers today. Always have great caller support on Monday and Tuesday. If you're an Impact Wrestling fan, show some support for the Thursday show. It's new on the schedule. Impact has fewer fans, fewer viewers. But let's make the Thursday night show have lots of callers. There's a lot to talk about with that product. I'll have my full in-depth review of last week's Impact in this week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, a newsletter exclusive review of last week's Impact. You can look forward to that if you're a VIP member. That'll also be posted on the VIP website. All right, so Travis Bryant tomorrow, Kevin Eck, Thursday night post-Impact with Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek, and then Friday night, Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan. Follow me on Twitter right now. Pull out Twitter and enter the Wade Keller, and then follow me. Same thing for at PW Torch and at MMA Torch. And you can also like us on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/PW Torch. And be sure to check out PWTorch.com every day. Go to the opinion and analysis menu option and vote in our polls. Which match should end WrestleMania 33? Undertaker Reigns, Shane Styles, Lesnar Goldberg, Bray Orton, Neville and Austin Aries. Every match is there. So take your pick and vote for it. We've got several other WrestleMania related polls up on the site. We also have house show results from WWE over the weekend, including some positive crowd reactions for both John Cena and Roman Reigns.
And we also have our collectibles column every week. Michael Moore writes about collectible items and how their values of how to find items on various wrestlers who are in the news and how their values rise and fall over time. Many other great specialist and editorial features along with news. We got the Raw ratings up from this week with perspective and analysis. We have a Raw Holt report, happenings off live TV. What happened that you didn't see last night on Raw? Our correspondent gave us a full detailed rundown of that. Plus, today we put up highlights of Charlotte's interview, discussing the end of her pay-per-view streak, a possible angle or match with Ronda Rousey, her chemistry with Sasha Banks, the insults she's levied at Becky, and how much her robes cost. So lots of good stuff over at pwtorch.com. Check it out every single day. Create a home screen button or a bookmark for it, pwtorch.com. Thanks, everybody. Until tomorrow, thanks to our callers. Thanks to all the listeners. And I look forward to talking to Travis Bryant to getting his view on everything going on this WrestleMania season on tomorrow's program. No!